What is age appropriate? Find out on this episode of Pushback. If you're concerned about the direction our culture is heading, then maybe it's time to push back. Greetings, everyone. This is Pushback, and I'm Dr. Johnny. I want to continue my series speaking very specifically to parents. It's one of the most important positions that we have here on this earth, and I don't believe it's ever been more important than it has been right now. I'm sort of continuing a series throughout this year, sort of entitled, We're Killing Our Kids. I know that sounds heavy, but I believe the importance of getting the attention, especially of parents, of the importance of what's happening in this world, and what society and even progressive liberals are trying to inflict and inject onto our children. I think it's important that our eyes are opened and that we are aware that there is something very serious and sinister going on in our culture, and it's time to push back. That's the heart behind this, not to create any kind of fear or darkness, but actually to expose the darkness and release light. That's what we're here to do as kingdom kids here on this earth, is to release light. And I don't believe that it's too late for our culture. If I believed that, this would be a complete waste of time, and this would be about just hearing my voice. I have no value for that, nor do I have a bunch of extra time for that. But I am here because of the importance of the message, the importance of what we need to convey. If we're concerned about the direction our culture is heading, then maybe it's time to push back. And that's what we are doing. And I want to expose more of those layers of what's happening in this world, because our children are not thriving. Doesn't mean that that's true for every child, but there is a culture that we have created here. I'll speak specifically about the United States, where our children aren't thriving. They aren't getting happier. There's an incredible increase in depression, anxiety, suicidality, and just general misery and purposelessness in our young people. This is a problem. This is a major problem. And the first and most important target audience are parents. And so I want to continue to speak to you parents very specifically about the issues that are facing our children. They're not completely different from when we were kids, but it's like it's been cranked up. It's like the heat has been turned up so high that it's hard for children to thrive and be healthy in this culture. Not impossible. And that's why we're here. If we see the issues, then we can reverse them. And that's what we're after. What we are doing now isn't working, and so we need a new plan. But here's the funny thing, is I believe that the liberal progressives realize it too. The statistics don't lie, and that's what I've been laying out so far in these first 2.5 months, 3 months. Statistics don't lie. Things aren't going well. But what they can't do and what they won't do is they won't pivot. They won't realize or recognize that there's an issue or a problem. And they won't admit that their policies and plans and worldview is killing our children. They won't admit it. So this podcast is entitled Age Appropriate. You know, we deal with that term age appropriate a lot in the ER as a physician. We are evaluating children or young adults of what we're seeing, the story that we're given, the mechanism of injury, and we're trying to find out if the story tracks, if it's age appropriate. If a 2-month-old rolls off a couch, that's probably not age appropriate. It's most likely something else happened, because a 2-month-old isn't rolling around on a couch. A lot of times I will dictate that when a child fell and hit their head or hurt their arm, that they're acting appropriately irritable. I will document that. What does that mean? It means that they're crying and they're fussing and they're in pain and they hurt. And when I look in their ears, they don't like me doing that and they cry. That's appropriately irritable for their age. A young child shouldn't like any of those things. We get more concerned when they're docile or feeling like they're completely out to lunch and not responding at all. Those are the issues that we get more concerned about. We like it when they're appropriately irritable. So there are age-appropriate milestones that we look at with children as well and into even young adulthood. But really what this has a lot to do with is brain development. I want to talk about brains today because when we expose children to quote-unquote adult content, which is kind of a funny term, it can be overwhelming to an underdeveloped brain. And not surprisingly, what we're going to see is depression and anxiety because the brain begins to shut down and chemically doesn't work effectively or efficiently. See, secular progressives see the problem. They see that the children are being exposed to other things, but their solution, what they propose, is that we're just not starting at a young enough age. They're doubling down on this notion, for instance, sexual content or sexual exposure. It's not that they're too young to manage it. It's that we didn't start early enough. Their brain needs to be brainwashed earlier. And so they see the problem, but instead of recognizing that they're heading down a wrong path, they simply double down and say, we need to make the path bigger. We just didn't start early enough. They're not realizing that their plan isn't working. That's probably not true. I think they do realize their plan isn't working, but they have no other solution to the problem and they will refuse to admit to pivot or change from it. I released a podcast during my Sexual Revolution series, one entitled Adult Content. I encourage you to go back and look at that. Because I thought that I made an interesting point in that podcast that we refer to things as adult content, these destructive things that we expose our adult brain to, and we consider that age appropriate, ironically. And yet, at what age is that appropriate? Immoral content being exposed to our bodies. We just think that as adults, we can handle it better. But interestingly, as a society, we actually put protections around our children because we know that it's damaging. We know that it's hurtful. And we know that it's immoral. So for some reason, we protect our children, but not ourselves. I find that fascinating. Let's talk about the prefrontal cortex. It's your brain that coordinates high-order cognitive processes and executive functioning. Executive functions are a set of supervisory cognitive skills needed for goal-directed behavior, including planning, response inhibition, working memory, and attention. These skills allow an individual to pause long enough to take stock of a situation, assess his or her options, plan a course of action, and execute it. Poor executive functioning leads to difficulty with planning, attention, using feedback, and mental inflexibility, all of which could undermine judgment and decision-making. So here's the drum roll. When does our prefrontal cortex fully develop? The answer is around age 25, especially for men, a little bit later for men than it is for women. 25. That seems like way into adulthood. So now let's rewind and go to the 13, 14, 15-year-old who has a prefrontal cortex that has difficulty with judgment, decision-making, skills of taking stock into a situation, assessing options. It's not fully developed. That's why we protect kids against adults that would prey on them or predators that would take advantage of them. So this is not going to come as a big shock for you, this public service announcement. What happens when children are exposed to inappropriate content? And we can define inappropriate content as we go forward. I found it very interesting and very encouraging that the Office of the Surgeon General just in 2023 released a full statement regarding the dangers, especially of social media and exposure to underdeveloped brains. I thought it's a critically important article and I encourage you to track that down. It's from the Office of the Surgeon General. This is what they found. When children are exposed to inappropriate content, it leads the child to normalize and become desensitized to high-risk behavior. Shape a child's expectations in relationships. Shapes a child's expectations of physical appearances and certain sexual acts. It blurs boundaries and increases child's risk of victimization. Children who see or are exposed to inappropriate content might feel confusion or uncertainty, shame or guilt, shock or disgust. The rapid growth of the internet and social media platforms has transformed the way we communicate, learn, and interact with the world. However, with this digital revolution comes a dark side that possesses potential risks, particularly for children and adolescents. I think it's a great turn of a phrase from the Surgeon General that causes that he uses the word a dark side. It's just what I said. The purpose of this podcast is to shed light on the darkness. The Surgeon General's advisory is called the Social Media and Youth Mental Health Advisory. You can look it up. It shed lights on the danger of exposing young minds to extreme, inappropriate, and harmful content and the consequences thereof. So what are some of the consequences? Well, the internet offers an expansive array of information, but unfortunately, not all of it is suitable for young audiences. Let me stop there. Not all of it is suitable for any audience. Not just to mention young audiences. Let's be real. Inappropriate and harmful content can take many forms, ranging from explicit imagery and violence to cyberbullying and hate speech. Content that may not even be considered explicit can still be incredibly harmful for developing minds, such as risk-taking challenges or influencer content that lead to social comparison and negative body imaging. This is huge. So important. Social media platforms in particular can expose children to these harmful elements through direct pushes, unwanted exchanges, and listen to this, algorithmic designs that tailor content to user preferences. Do you not think that these companies are targeting your children? Then you have something else coming. Without proper supervision, children can stumble upon or be deliberately exposed to inappropriate content that may have lasting negative effects. Parents, we have to have our eyes open. These little digital boxes that our children are holding are so dangerous and so purposely connected to your children to try to bring exposure to the dark side. There is some legislative measures, Kids Online Safety Act and Children and Teens Online Privacy Protection Act. These are being formed and being discussed because it is so stinking important. People are seeing the value in the education of the danger that is there. So the Surgeon General, interestingly, talks about brain development. The brain continues to develop throughout childhood and adolescence with the prefrontal cortex responsible for decision-making and impulse control being one of the last areas to mature. This imbalance between the developing emotional impulsive regions of the brain and the still developing executive functions can lead to increased impulsivity and reduced ability to weigh potential risks accurately. Sensation-seeking and novelty-seeking. During adolescence, there is an increased drive for new experiences and sensations. Teens often seek out novel and exciting activities to fulfill their need for stimulation, which can lead to engaging in risky behaviors as a means of seeking thrill and excitement. Peer influence. What can we say about this? The influence of peers is significant during adolescence. Adolescents often seek acceptance and validation from their peers, which can lead them to engage in risky behaviors to fit in or gain social status. Emotional intensity. Adolescence is a period characterized by intense emotions and a heightened sensitivity to rewards and social feedback. This emotional intensity can lead to impulsive decision-making and greater willingness to take risks driven by the desire for immediate gratification or to escape negative emotions. There's that word, escape, escapism. It's so critically important that we are aware as parents of what social media and exposure to any of these high risk, high leverage behaviors can do to our children. Social media platforms have become breeding grounds for social comparison, leading to adverse effects on mental health, particularly among adolescent girls. My friends, adolescent girls is a target audience of these digital companies because they represent a huge proportion of their demographic. So they are going to tailor their product toward their demographic audience. The constant exposure to carefully curated and filtered representations of other people's lives can, this is so important, can create unrealistic standards of beauty, success, and happiness. Spending a lot of time comparing themselves to others on social media, this just breaks my heart. It's the major contributor to why adolescent girls felt unhappy with their bodies and led to problems like eating disorders, low self-esteem, feeling anxious or depressed. How many times do I have to say it on this podcast? There is an epidemic of depression and anxiety, and we can put our finger on it. We can isolate some of these issues. These children, these young girls whose brains are not even developed yet, are being saturated and exposed to these damaging imagery and conversation that is changing the chemistry in their brain. The dissemination of hate speech can have serious psychological and emotional consequences. Of course it can. It can perpetuate stereotypes, foster discrimination, and contribute to the development of prejudiced attitudes and behaviors. Exposure to such content can lead to increased levels of stress, anxiety, and feelings of insecurity, especially among marginalized communities. We can connect the dots easily. This data shouldn't surprise us at all, but we as parents have the ability to manage this. So the Surgeon General has come out with the best that they can come out with some sort of recommendation. I feel like a couple of these are too late. The first one, open communication. Encourage them to talk to you if they've come across anything that makes them feel uncomfortable or worried. Well, it's too late. They've already been exposed to it. It doesn't mean we shouldn't talk to our children. Don't misunderstand me. But we also have to understand the fact that by the time they've already been exposed and they've been searching for this and see it, it's too late. Educate about online safety. Teach your children about the potential dangers of the internet, including exposure to inappropriate content and risk of interacting with strangers online. Help them understand the importance of safeguarding their personal information and the potential consequences of sharing too much online. Well, if they're already sharing online, then you somehow have to manage what it means to be too much. I feel like it's just too late. We need to have a preemptive strike. I don't think those things are unimportant. Please don't misunderstand my heart. But a preemptive strike to have considerable control and management over what they're doing, the consequences are too great. Now, these I like. Set clear boundaries. That's what I'm talking about. Establish clear boundaries for internet use, including screen time limits and specific rules about what kind of content is acceptable. I would argue no content coming off the internet is acceptable. Not much is coming through that offers benefit to our children. I have to talk to you straight about this. Use safe technology. We do this. Utilize technology tools that offer screen time controls and parental control features. These tools allow to set limits on the amount of time your child spends online, which should be zero, and block access to inappropriate content, which should be zero. You want my opinion? Shut it down. Supervise online activities. Regularly monitor your child's online activities and be aware of the platforms they are using, which should be zero. Consider keeping computers and devices in common areas, which we do, and we love that recommendation. In the house where you can easily see what your child is doing online. That is such a simple boundary. There's no reason your kids need to be in their bedroom with the door shut on any kind of online device, period. This is Dr. Johnny talking here. Please adhere to my advice. If they feel like they need to connect in any way online for any reason, it can just be done in a public open area. Why wouldn't it be? devices need to be seen and continually monitored. Encourage offline activities, balance screen time with sports, artistic pursuits, spending time with friends and family. That goes without saying. There's another recommendation that the Surgeon General didn't make, but Dr. Johnny will make. Throw it out the window. Just open the window and throw it out the window. Life will go on. Life had gone on way before this was invented. I do see the value for having a cell phone in a car in case of emergencies and general connection between parents. All of those technologies are valuable. Doesn't go too much beyond that, however. So the throw it out the window technique is one that you may consider. I also want to just bring up one more exposure, which I think is very important, just speaking parent to parent, because not all social stresses are on social media. There are social stresses that are happening in our homes as well. And we have to keep in mind that our children's brain, their prefrontal cortex, is underdeveloped when they are younger. And so we need to be mindful of how much of your quote-unquote stress is being exposed to your children. It's called real social life. Not social media, but just real social life. Like, it's happening every day. I believe that as we get the feeling that our children are growing up faster and faster, then sometimes we can be lax in how much we're exposing them to the stresses that we all feel throughout life, because they're kids and they don't need to be managing social stresses of the home. They don't need to participate in or be exposed to your social, relational, financial stresses. They're real and I get them. And between spouses, these need to be discussed, but in a private, very intentional way, separate from our children, so that they don't need to be juggling or handling those places. Be mindful to protect their brains. It saddens my heart when there's a heavy weight of expectation and management on a young child's undeveloped brain. It's more than they can handle. And the result of that is stress and chemical imbalance, because it was never theirs to carry in the first place. So parents, be very mindful, not only to protect them from the CRAP that the world is exposing them to purposely, but also protect them from the day-to-day adult management issues that we deal with every day. Those don't need to be open, public, around the dining room table. It doesn't mean we don't share our life stories and the struggles and the things that we're facing, but the management stresses are not theirs to carry. They just get to be the kids and they get to participate in family, and they don't have to carry your burden and stress as well. So just be mindful of those things as well. It's about parents, parents, parents. Parents need to be the tip of the spear, the front edge, the cutting edge, the preemptive, intentional injection into our children's lives. It's not only that they know that we care, but that we're monitoring them to protect their brains to develop as they should. It's the goal of every parent that they would grow and develop as they should. It's the word radah. It's the word dominion that was actually given to us to manage from the beginning of time in Genesis. So our children open up and develop as they should. And we can't expose their young, undeveloped brains to things that they cannot handle or process. And my last question is this. What is age appropriate for us? What is age appropriate? Well, the Father gives us all boundaries to live in, no matter what the age is. And yes, as we get older, we can manage and make better decisions and right decisions and consider the consequences more as we deal with life, adult situations as we move forward. But we also need to be really careful what we're exposing our brains to, what we're connecting to, what we're allowing in. We need to be light and not entertain or caudal darkness. So with those points, let's be energized as parents to be as intentional as we can. Again, my heart is not to scare you or to create undue worry, but these issues are so important, and there is an enemy that is targeting your children with dire consequences. But it's not too late. We can change things around because we are the culture setters. So let's go together now to set and shape the culture.